We are living in an exciting time. Boy, that was, well, there wasn't a lot of agreement right there. Oh my. We are living in an exciting time. Depends on what kind of excitement you like. I tell people that living for God's like riding on a roller coaster that has a lot of really steep dives. And instead of hanging on and screaming in terror, we got to learn just to let go and holler and celebrate on the way down, because that's just the way it is. Amen. it's gonna be rough. Thank the Lord. Yesterday morning in prayer, God began to speak to me. And I know, I can always tell when these things are coming. I'd be praying, and all of a sudden God just inserts a phrase in my heart. And I know that it's time to get quiet and just listen. And so Holy Spirit gave this to me. I posted it on Facebook for those of you that don't have Facebook or haven't seen it. I need to read this to you because it's a very relevant word. And just listen. We have entered through the door and crossed over the threshold of divine impact. The compromising conglomerates of carnal Christianity will be driven out and into the arms of the deceiver who they worship. They will become more vile and committed to their perversion until their flesh literally begins to consume them, all the while saying they represent God. But those who are yielded and connected in the kingdom to their heavenly Father, Yahweh, through the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, will confound the delusional hypocrites of this Jezebelian church. Because while they expect our demise, we will flourish as people will begin to flee from the lies and perversion, crying out for something real that can deliver them from the torment raging in their souls. What must we do to be saved will become the cry of the lost again as they are encountered by the holy presence of the living God. The divine impact will be as destructive as it is wonderful. The rebellious will be flung to their demise in this ungodly world, but the righteous will sit at the table spread before them in the presence of their enemies. We are living in a time of just, I don't even know how to say it. It's a dichotomy. There's like different theaters. There's not just one theater. There's not just one stage. There's different theaters. There's different stages. And it depends on what you're going after, what stage you're on. Because there is a stage that is set by the world, influenced by demonic powers and demonic spirits in ways that we can't even comprehend. We as a church have been hidden and blinded from the reality that's going on around us, to the point that when we do get a glimpse of it, it is startling, it's upsetting, it causes confusion, it causes discouragement sometimes, depression, because all of a sudden we see the iniquity, how deep the iniquity is around us, and the pressure to accept that iniquity or else be called names. Your your person being assassinated, your character being assassinated, all these kind of things. We have to understand that that's going to happen, and we've got to toughen up more. We've got to be tougher than that. We've got to understand that the children of God have got to understand who Christ is in them. Amen. We often say who we are in Christ. I have switched that around because who we are in Christ makes you the primary. When you say who Christ is in you, it makes Jesus the primary. Amen. And so we're moving into a time where there's evil that is abounding, and it will continue to abound. Anybody that believes that the devil's going to back off, the sin's going to back off, is deceiving themselves. It's going to grow. The Bible says it'll grow worse and worse. But we are not of those who pull back. We are not of those who quit. We are not of those that become faint-hearted. We are the family of God. We're the children of God. And we see what God's doing. And on the other hand, there is an amazing move of the Spirit of God that is beginning to move in places that we never dreamed would happen. So you understand what I'm talking about, that dichotomy. We see that the devil and his plans seem to be growing, and yet we have got to understand that God has not abdicated the throne. He has not removed himself. He has not backed off. He's not afraid. He is not shaking on the throne saying, I don't know what to do. He is not abandoning the church and the body of Christ. He will not abandon his bride. He will not abandon his body. He is here. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is our stable compartment or partner. He is a relentless warrior that never quits. Amen. When people talk about God like he's some kind of abandoning father or you know, that somehow he's just going to dump us, that's ridiculous. He's the one that sticks it out. We're the ones that run. We're the ones that quit. Amen. For years I heard stuff. You know, I've said this before, that when I was growing up in the church, when I first started preaching, I was constantly warned about, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, he'll leave, he'll leave, he'll leave, he'll leave, he'll leave, he'll leave, he'll leave. That's all I heard, is he'll leave. I've had people right here in this church. I've been here a long time, so it's been years and years. I've had people in this church get upset because they wasn't getting their way about something, or they felt like that we should do something else. And I've had them literally tell me, the Spirit of God has departed from you. Ichabod is written over the door. God has left your house, and all this kind of stuff. I beg to differ with you. He lives with me every single day of the 24 hours a day. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. Amen. So I've changed that around. I understand you can grieve the Spirit, but you have to purposely take a stand against him to do that. And that's a dangerous place to be. But I got to tell you something. When you think that he's not around, he's the one that's fighting. You're the one that's looking around wondering where he went. Get back in the battle, you'll find him. Amen. He is a determined warrior that never stops fighting for the body of Christ. He is fighting for us. Amen. He is fighting for us. I've grown up in the Pentecostal church, and it's just amazing how superstitious we've been. You know, if you take time to read announcements like Pastor Rob just did, you know, people just get all squirrely on you. And, oh, you've grieved the Spirit of God. Oh, my God. You read the announcements when God was moving. When did we become so superstitious and so small-minded that we think that we can govern Holy Spirit like that? Amen. He knows we can't get to where we're supposed to be unless somebody gives us something and says, this is the time. Amen. We can stop and talk for a little bit, and Holy Spirit's just still ready to go. He's right there. He didn't leave. Wow. I'm ready. It might sound like I'm really getting mean with you, but I'm ready for the church to get past our weak understanding of God and of Holy Spirit and the work of God in our lives. He is not weak. He is not afraid, and he does not run. Amen. Praise God. He'll be with you no matter what. He sticks it out. In Ezekiel chapter 47, I just felt like I needed to say that. Amen. If you didn't feel like you needed that, just, you know, give it to somebody else. You can go home tonight, this afternoon, and say, boy, pastor's really talking to them folks today. I wonder who he was talking to. My Jesus. Woo! Ezekiel 47 and 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Several years ago, Holy Spirit spoke this to us and began to drive this home. When I was really young here in this church, God spoke to me, and he showed me a hub. He said, I want to make this body a hub. I want to make this a central place. And I didn't know what that meant, because back then nobody talked about that. But I've seen that and felt that for years. And we've been moving that in that direction, trying to understand it, trying to say, God, what are you wanting to do? And in my mind, I saw like a wagon wheel with a hub and a lot of spokes going out every direction. And so we just been praying into that, believing God for it. And now everywhere I go, people's talking about hubs. I mean, that's the main thing now. We're all a hub now. And God's trying to establish central locations. God's trying to establish places that feed out. For years, the church has established itself and pulled in. But it's time for the church to turn that around and start feeding out. We've got to become a power distribution center. But after the Lord spoke this to me several years ago, just before the year 2000, Holy Spirit began to talk to me about this scripture. And this is the scripture that we have established this church on. And we even changed the name to Healing River Worship Center, because that's what God began to speak to us, that he wanted a healing river to begin to flow. And after I began to see that, then I began to understand that it was not a wagon wheel, or it was a artesian well with rivers flowing out, tributaries flowing out in every direction. And that's what God is beginning to establish. And there's many, many, many places like this being established all over, because God wants to begin to spread out. And we're going to begin to interlock on our borders, and God is beginning to make this thing a complete covering, where the healing river of God begins to flow from different directions and from different places, but it's going to be his river, and we're going to flow together. And everywhere the river goes, every living thing, it will live. it'll be healed. The waters will be healed. How many know we need some healing in the waters today? There are communities that are absolutely suffering and they need the healing river of God. There are towns that are suffering and they need the healing river of God. I can take you to different places in a 30-mile radius around this church where the oppression is so heavy and the drug addiction and the alcoholism and the abuse of children is so heavy that it just breaks your heart. And that's right here in our area. I heard a report here, I don't know if it was last year, year before, somewhere in there. I lose track of time, but there was a report done on Taney County, on all the counties. And they said that the children of Taney County were the most traumatized that they had seen in Missouri. That's our county. We're right at the edge of it. The northwest corner of it. Said the children were traumatized in our county. I don't know about you, but I think some healing river needs to flow out of the people of God. We've got to step up our game here. We've got to step up what we're doing. And we've got to believe God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when the children are suffering, God doesn't like it. Amen. He said, let the children come unto me. In the day that Jesus was walking the streets of Israel and of Jerusalem, that was under Roman rule in Rome. They didn't even consider a child to be human until they were 2 years old. Up until about 2 years old, if a father felt like a child wasn't qualified to be in his family, he would just simply kill it and discard it. That's the atmosphere that Jesus was walking in. And one day he was walking and all these little children that seemed to be disposable began to gather around him. And Jesus stopped and the disciples began to say, get out of here, get out of here. And Jesus rebuked them and he said, do not do that. Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And if you don't become like one of these, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus sat down. And in absolute diversity to the culture of his day, he began to bless these children and declare blessing over them. And he shoved all the adults back and began to minister to the children. A healing river began to flow in the lives of those children. Jesus does not approve of American culture. Amen. He does not approve of our culture. Our culture is an absolute diversity and opposition to the kingdom of God. The culture in America is so perverse that righteousness seems to be dramatic, we promote such perversion in this nation. Did you know that around the world that a lot of countries dislike America, and it's not just our politics, it's because America is the greatest purveyor of perversion. You know why Castro was able to take over Cuba? Because America and the Hollywood stars turned it into a perverse playground. And all of a sudden, Castro come flying in out of the jungles and talking about a different society and a different, and people were so tired of being taken advantage of by American citizens in Hollywood that they were ready for it. A lot of them wanted it. And of course, they haven't wanted it since then, because communism always destroys. It never builds up. It always destroys. And I've been there. I've preached the gospel there. Back before it was legal to get there, we had to sneak in. I have preached the gospel all over Cuba. I had to make sure I didn't have no paper trail so that I didn't get arrested when I got back to the United States for breaking federal law for being in Cuba. And we went and preached the gospel all over that island. And it was an oppressed place. It was a poverty-stricken place. They didn't have food. They had one chicken every 2 weeks per family that was given out. They didn't have food to eat. They didn't have gas for their vehicles. If they had a vehicle, 4 and 5 generations of families living in the same little block building attached to the back of another building. Walk into homes and there's literally 3 to 4 generations of families living in the same little block building, not as big as our nursery, and they just simply slept all over the floor. They had no health care, contrary to Michael Moore. What a liar. I got so mad when I saw that documentary he put on about the great health care in Cuba. I've been there. The government clinics didn't even have aspirins. We actually smuggled in medicine into Cuba and just prayed for God to get us through, and God got us through supernaturally to where our luggage didn't even get searched. And they were searching everything. God took us through there. A soldier came and got us without us being able to communicate with him. A soldier with a rifle came and got me and my friend Randy Webb and our big suitcases full of medicine that we had, and literally took us through the checkpoint and the search point without saying a word to us, and took us out the front door of the airport, and we was able to deliver antibiotics and medicine all over Cuba, going taking it to the government clinic, because they didn't have government, they didn't have medicine. They didn't have food. But American culture is just the opposite of communism. Communism has no morals. I mean, they simply have no morals because they don't believe in God. So there is no moral fiber. America says we believe in God, and yet America has no moral fiber. We are more of a poison to the world, and I realize a lot of you don't like to hear this, but we are more than of a poison to the world than any other country in the world. We are the greatest. When you go to India, you don't tell people you're a Christian. The reason is because they think everybody from Europe and America are Christians. And you know who the greatest purveyors and greatest visitors to the brothels there where little children are raped and molested continually? You know who those people are? It's men, white men from America and from Europe going to those brothels. And when you say, I'm a Christian, what they are hearing is, you are one of those people that come and rape and molest our children. Man, I had no plans of preaching this like this. We are not in a state to say, God bless America. Now, I know that goes strong, hits strong with some of you. What we need to be doing is falling on our face and saying, God save America. Because America is perverse.
America is full of lies and hypocrisy and corruption. Our American government has dissolved into nothing more than a money laundering facility. Our government is corrupt. Our president is corrupt. Our senators and congressmen are corrupt. Everybody is out to sell you out and sell you down the road. We cannot declare the greatness of this country right now. What we need to do is repent and begin to declare the greatness of our God. We need God. We need a revival. Donald Trump is not our savior. I like his policies. I really do. When he was president, at least we had something. I do not enjoy my paycheck being sucked out of my pocket before we even get it. I don't like what I see happening. Man, this was not supposed to be this kind of message. I do not like what I see happening. I don't like any of it. Matter of fact, even the senators and congressmen that are putting on a show and acting like they're standing up for the American people are being paid off behind the scenes, and it's nothing but a drama taking place on television, and they're patting each other on the back behind the scenes. They're splitting up the money. They're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, and then Ukraine takes it and puts it in shell corporations, and then they send it right back to the congressmen and the senators, and they put it in a bank account, so they're just simply sucking the money out of America and out of taxpayers' pockets and bringing it right back and putting it in their own pockets. Wow. Oh, Jesus. You're trying to get me arrested. The church in America is coming to a crossroads. I guess I'm just going to have to preach on the word that I read to you all ago. The church in America is at a crossroads. And we have got, we cannot be shocked by this, and we've got to understand it's going to happen. There's a large part of the carnal, I called it the carnal, or the Holy Spirit called it the carnal conglomerate of Christianity in this nation, is going to throw morality and God away for the sake of acceptance and the sake of being patted on the back by the hands of the devil and saying, okay, we won't bother you. You can keep your tax exempt status. We won't bother you. We'll leave you alone. And they're going to become more vile. They're going to embrace sin like you've never seen. Matter of fact, they already are. Churches are actually pledging allegiance to drag queens. You understand, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around this, and it's not because I'm old. You know, young people look at me and say, well, you don't understand because I'm old. You don't understand because you're young. You haven't lived where I've lived. You haven't seen what I've seen. I know where this thing ends. I know how this turns out. Churches pledging allegiance to drag queens. And see, they don't, you know, these drag queens, they don't come into church wearing nice outfits. They come in wearing these perverse, trying to show good night. Who wants to see the legs of an old man? I don't care if he did have them waxed. Wearing these ungodly nightgown kind of things, prancing around in the church, and the church standing up applauding. What kind of ignorance have we come to in America where we are so perverse and so blind that we think that the love of God is making us embrace these people? No, the love of God would help us to say, look, you can be free from your perversion and the destruction that's coming on you. Wow. I was going to preach on the vision today. Here, let's just put it to rest. Just there you go. Church in America is going to become divided. There's going to be such a division that is going to take place. And many are falling for this stuff. Many are going after. Pastors are silent. They're scared to death to get up and preach messages like I'm preaching right now. And the reason is because they have such a debt load, they can't lose people. They have such a debt load on their facilities and on the things that, you know, they'll lose income. And man, I feel for them because they're caught in between it. It's either take a stand and lose everything, or keep playing with this thing and lose everything. But the real men and women of God are going to stand up and say, "Look, we can't choke this stuff down. I'm gagging here. I'm gagging on this." Amen. You ever tried to swallow something that was terrible? I have in foreign countries. I've ate stuff that it took me 3 to 4 times trying to swallow it to get it down, and you're gagging and tears are running down your face. And Jesus said, "Whatever they put before you, eat it." And I really don't like that verse. I think it was unnecessary. I have looked for other translations. I've looked in the Greek, Aramaic. I have tried somehow to find my way around that. Because I am a picky eater. You can ask my wife. So when I'm sitting in a little hut in some country, they put this stuff down in front of me that stinks. This wasn't a problem until God healed my ability to smell. For years, I couldn't smell anything because I got hit with a baseball bat right in the back of the head so hard that it flipped me in the middle of the air. And for years, I couldn't smell or taste, you know. I lived in an odorless world, and ever since my smell started coming back, I have missed the days of living in an odorless world. I tell Betty all the time, it kind of comes and goes. It's like a switch turning on and off. And when it turns on, I'll tell Betty, I'll say, "Man, this world stinks. Everything smells. It just wears me out." You know, you're going around. You know, everything has a smell to it. It exhausts you. It's terrible. I like it when it flips off sometimes, you know, and it's like, it's an odorless world. I don't smell a thing. Sister Betty will grab her nose going down the road because somebody hit a skunk and she'll grab her nose and I'm sitting over there like, I don't smell anything. But boy, when it kicks on, whew, amen. You can ask Sister Betty, I absolutely do not like perfume. I hate it. Because it makes you have to smell all the time. Wears you out. It's always a smell. Smell, 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 smell. That's how I feel about the things that are being pushed on us today. I'm gagging. I can't swallow it. I got tears running down my face, and it stinks, and I can't stand the smell of it. I want to smell the presence of God. I want the aroma of God's presence in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, "Pastor, don't you want to see people saved?" Absolutely. And we are going to see a lot of people saved because people are going to start running out of the darkness towards the light, saying, "I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I need something that's real." There's some three college kids that was here last Sunday. And I got to talk to them, and they come up to me and they said, "Pastor, we're looking for something that's real. We're tired of the fake. We're looking for something that's real." I said, "Oh, sounds like another Jesus movement to me." Amen. Sounds like the 60s all over again. Another Jesus movement. If they're looking for something real, I got somebody real for them. Amen. His name is Jesus. This ain't some kind of fake thing. It is real. He will change your life. So the iniquity is going to continue. And it's going to get worse and worse. But at the same time, they literally hate anybody that stands up for what's right, for the Bible. There's such a hatred. Matter of fact, there are people that are literally hungry for the demise of the Christians in America. They're hungry. They crave it more than anything else. They want to see the destruction of the Christians, but they are going to be so let down because we are going to begin to flourish because God's righteousness is going to start shining brighter than it's ever shined before. People are going to start flocking to places where they can get delivered and set free from the torment that's raging inside of them. There are people that have been destroyed in their life. They're looking for healing, and the church has got to rise up. The church has got to get on board and begin to realize we can't just have church as normal. We are going to be an ER. We're going to be emergency room. We are going to be ambulance center, the ambulatory care center. There is people that are going to be coming in that are going to need healing. They're going to need deliverance. They're coming in even now. They've got to be set free or they can't. You can't just have them repeat a simple little prayer and change their life. They've got to have what's in them taken out of them. Because this world has forced its demonic presence into their life. But God's going to spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I don't know how much longer this thing's going to. Pastor Rob opened a can of worms a while ago when he said, you know, if it's a count down or a count up. And so I grabbed my phone real fast, got my calculator out, and if it's 6,000 years, and then we're at 216. You say, we got 216 years left? I have no idea. You know, God rested on the seventh day. We can go around this thing. We can circle, you know, and try to figure out when Jesus is going to come and when the end's going to come and all this kind of stuff. We ain't got time for that. We're in a mess. Amen. We're in a mess. I'm not looking for an escape route. I'm looking for a powerful move of the Spirit of God. Amen. If Jesus comes today, I'm ready. I'm out of here. Amen. I'm not going to stick around. But if he doesn't come for another 206, if this thing goes on another 216 years, then I'm going to fight for everything I can fight for to make sure that my grandkids have something to live in besides the squalor that's taken over our nation now. Amen. I can't wait till they get a hold of this one. They're way behind. They're several months behind on our live stream and slapping our hands. And so, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take for them to get to this one, but we'll probably get kicked off as soon as they see it. Matter of fact, they've got a whole plethora of things to go through, you know. We got reprimanded here a while back and got kicked off of social media because of something that happened last year on one of them. I thought, man, they're that far behind. Woohoo! They got a lot of catching up to do. I mean, if I could have talked to them, I would have put on there, oh, hang on, it gets worse. got any ham radio people in here? Anybody on ham radio? Some of y'all need to get on that and learn how to do that, because it won't be long and we're going to have ham radio set up in this church to get the message out. Amen. Because they're not going to like what we're saying. Praise God. Have I just meddled today? I mean, I've just meddled with everybody. If I haven't upset or offended you, I'll be to you in just a minute. I believe in being an equal offending pastor. God hasn't left. God hasn't give up on us. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? God hasn't give up on the church. And I don't care what the government says, we are very, very essential and significant. And it's going to become more and more obvious. Praise God, this river is going to begin to come spread out. Hallelujah. God set us up with a tent, and it is completed now. It's in a trailer. It's ready to go. We've got everything we need. We've got it set up, and I am anticipating God beginning to move people out into different areas, because God, these rivers are going to go there. Amen. These rivers are going to go there. The church is changing. We are changing. We're turning from membership drives to missionary drives. It's not about how many people we can pack in a building and build a bigger building. It's how many people we can empower and send out into the fields. Amen. And if you're afraid to drive a little golf cart down and pick somebody up, you have a challenge ahead of you. Amen. That's the fun part. That's the fun part. Praise God. Wait till you get to do what we've done for years in other countries and go into places where they're declaring they're going to kill you if you preach the gospel, and you get up and preach the gospel anyway. Because it's the truth and we believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. They like to bluff and holler and carry on and threaten. But God will give you gang protection. Was preaching in one area, and they sent us a note that said, if you preach that Jesus is the only way of salvation, we're going to kill you in public, in front of everybody. And so the next night I got up and preached Jesus was the only way of salvation. I mean, what's a man to do, you know? And so we preached that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Well, I didn't know what was going to happen. You just never know. You know, they had all kinds of ways of doing it. They had done it to other people. So we didn't know. But I got up and preached, and nothing happened. And we found out later that the guy that we rented the land with, this big piece of land to hold this big open-air crusade, the guy we rented the land from was a very powerful politician in that area. And this is how God works. He heard that we was being threatened. And he was not a believer. He was just like them. And God caused him to get offended. And he got upset because we were being threatened. And he said, I gave them permission to be there. How dare you threaten me? And he sent his gangs down to our meetings, and every night his gangs protected us. And they went through this large crowd saying, if you touch them, you're touching me. So we preached Jesus is the only way of salvation every night with gangs out there that didn't even believe in Jesus, but they were out there protecting us, making sure we could preach. I mean, that's how God works. And then if he wants to blind them where they can't see you, he can do that too. Amen. They were trying to find us. They were looking for us. We were standing. Me and Sister Betty are like neon lights. And all these guys were shaking their fists and yelling and screaming and shoving people. And we were standing there walking right in front of me. And I was looking at them and saying, man, these guys are worked up. Wonder what they're worked up about. What's going on? Wonder what's going on. They're walking right by. I'm standing right here. Me and Sister Betty, you know, her blonde hair in the sun is just shining. My white beard, you know, we are neon lights. And pretty soon they turned and they headed back down. And I looked at our interpreter. I said, what's going on with these guys? What are they doing? He said, they're looking for you. I said, they just went by. I could have touched them. They were looking at me. He said, they can't see you. And so here they come back by. And I just got right out in front. And I'm watching them. Here they come. They're ranting, we're going to kill the preachers. We're going to kill the preachers, you know. And they're ranting and raving, come back down through there. And they're just walking right by me. And I'm standing there smiling at them, you know. They can't see me. Is God not amazing? See, we've got to get out of our small-mindedness and begin to realize that God has our back. And he is amazing. Wow. Praise God. I meant to go one way and we went way the other direction today. Praise God.